Hi.
So my name is Rochelle.
And my name is Leonard.
And today we have a very special episode hosted from our lovely co-working space, Laat Bloeien in Rotterdam, the Netherlands.
Yes, and in this episode we will start with the journey of GrowTribute, and the journey starts with us. Mm-hmm. So in this episode we will share more about our personal stories, but also about our journey of self-development. And the things that we see happening around us right now, which really intrigue us and made us start GrowTribute.
Indeed, yeah. So before we just head off to all the the challenges we see regarding high achievers and personal development and living your ideal life, let's just start with introducing ourselves.
Shall I start?
Yeah, let's go.
So I'm an entrepreneur and a coach. But my story started differently. I was actually trained to become a lawyer. And that whole journey actually started in my high school. I, at one point, like everybody, had to make a decision. Okay, what do you want to become? What kind of studies do you want to pursue? Mm-hmm. And I totally didn't have a clue. So I decided to go for two mainstream studies, economics and law. In the end, going fully for law, trying to become, get the best out of it, get the highest grades. And I saw already a future for me becoming a lawyer, a business lawyer. But after some internships, looking, is this really something for me? I found out, okay, wait, I'm not going to be happy by doing this. So I should actually not even try to do this. I should go on a totally different path. And that brought me to the business world. I started off as a change manager at a software company, doing a few very interesting projects, giving me kind of a practical MBA. Mm-hmm. But at one point I thought, okay, I'm kind of missing an entrepreneurial role where I can decide more for myself. Mm-hmm. And also, I also lacked some kind of bigger purpose, reason for why this company existed. And then I found out that there was a new initiative coming to Rotterdam, an entrepreneurial network of investors and entrepreneurs. Just like the US, so they wanted to start it in Rotterdam, in Holland as well. So I jumped on board and I became one of the founding team members in Rotterdam for starting this network, this community. And I really love doing that, starting the community, growing from 100 people per week to even 400 people attending on a weekly basis. And getting to know a lot of investors, entrepreneurs, which really started to give me an itch of, okay, is this something what I want to do as well? Mm-hmm. Starting a business, starting something that is totally built by myself, where I'm in charge. So at one point, I thought, okay, my next step will be becoming an entrepreneur and starting a business myself, where I can decide upon the culture, upon the product, the market, everything. And then I became an entrepreneur with two co-founders, and we created the Pocket Translator. The company is called Travis. And the Pocket Translator idea really took off in 2017, where we actually managed to get worldwide attention. So in the end, we got featured in more than 3,000 worldwide media, and up until this date, we sold more than 200,000 units. But a few months ago, I decided to leave this business and to start doing something I like even more. Mm-hmm. than my previous business. Mm. So that led me to what we're doing now, and but more about it later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about you?
So my journey starts with studying communication sciences in Utrecht. And I thought I wanted to become a journalist at that point, age 18, I think. I liked writing, reading, blogging, all that stuff. So I thought it made a lot of sense to have like a curiosity and going forward with asking the right questions and being sharp and doing research. I thought it made a lot of sense for me. So I decided to go into communications. And I think in the first few months, I already saw it wasn't for me, as in, university in general, just very schooly, homework assignments, very theoretical. And to me, the whole thing was just very boring. And I started looking around for an alternative, like already in, I think, block one or something. And I couldn't find any other alternative that was better than I was doing at the moment. So I decided to stay with communication sciences, and because it didn't take up that much of my week's time, I thought I'll just finish this with doing a lot of extracurricular work. And so that's what happened. Did a lot of extracurricular things, like working at a call center, doing a lot of sales, new business, organizing entrepreneurial weeks, doing extra minors, a board year, all that stuff. So I did the whole student package, and I think I can check off all the boxes. But then when I started to graduate from that bachelor's, I thought I wanted to become a manager and to be in a leadership position at a corporate. So I thought then I need to do an MBA or something close to that. So I applied for a management master's. And in this process of going from bachelor to master, I already started my freelance business. And in that business, I helped do copywriting, marketing, SEO, and all that stuff around it. So I was already being pretty entrepreneurial and already having clients and earning money my own way, basically. And in between the time of the business and the master's, I thought of working, and that's what I did. I started working for instance, a startup incubator in Spain, and then one in the Netherlands as well. Did a lot of cool initiatives and started a few of them where corporates and startups would collaborate, for instance. And I really liked that atmosphere of the startups and entrepreneurs. But yeah, again, it was freelancing that I thought of during the master's and then going to the corporate business. But then I started the master's, and within the first day, I knew, again, it wasn't for me, but this time it was like alarm bells going off. This is not my environment. This is too boring. This is too theoretical. I'm already an entrepreneur. I already work, so this is not new. And they started talking about things I really, really shouldn't have. I already learned, basically. So long story short, quit the master's and then went on with entrepreneuring. Did a lot of freelance things like project management, product ownership. Then started presenting as an event moderator and still do that on the side. Love being on stage and also now working on what we're doing with GoTubeIt, because I think there's so much potential in people. And since this year, I'm also coaching young professionals with reaching their ambition, understanding who they are, finding their ideal life, dealing with limiting beliefs, etc. So yeah, I think our story melts in coaching young entrepreneurs, young high achievers, and seeing their needs.
And why are we so into personal growth?
Well, I think
we do it actually. We like to do it in the evenings, even on Saturday evening, Friday evening, if need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's because we both took a path that wasn't regular. It wasn't the beaten path that was expected, because you were on a path of becoming a lawyer, and like literally the moment you stepped on the doorstep, you're like, ah, no. And then basically you saw you wasted your let's say years of studying, and thus your development, and thus you needed to change. And for me, I already saw it wasn't for me what I was doing, but I needed to find an alternative to find my path. So I needed to discover and grow my own way to get closer to what I like to do. And I think that while doing so, we both found out, if I can speak for both of us, that you can get closer to your ideal situation by discovering and thus developing.
Yeah, and the regular path, education and work didn't provide us enough guidance, or wasn't for us. Mm. So we needed to find our own way. We needed to find our own, define our new goals, actually.
Yeah, and start with a clean sheet, like, okay, so we can talk from that study or from that job we know, but no, we need to start from ourselves. If this is what we like and this is our interest and these are our passions, then how can we combine that in a professional role, for instance?
Yeah. Yeah, and let's talk about some challenges that we faced ourselves and, mm-hmm. and why we are so intrigued by all yeah. these topics like career, personal development, health.
Yeah. Yeah, and to be clear, like, it goes further than just career and work, right? Self-development is not just some course you take at the company you work at and then say, hey, I just checked another box off a diploma or a certificate.
No.
Right? It's self-reflection and it goes in all areas of life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it starts with understanding yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding your passions, what you find important, your values,
mm-hmm.
but also how you ideally see your health or your career or your money situation.
Or your love relationships, for instance.
So the
or
better
friends,
you know,
yeah.
you know yourself yeah. and how you ideally would see something, the better you know which actions you should take.
Mm-hmm.
So that is how we see personal development. We see it as a way of creating some kind of individual track for yourself, how you want to grow on all these different levels. So
mm-hmm.
not only on skills to perform better at work,
mm-hmm.
but how to get a better health so you have even more energy for all the things that you like and your work and to make an impact.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it all starts with understanding who you are and what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy in every way possible. So from your personal life to which kind of environments fit you or what kind of friends fit you or what kind of relationship you're looking for. And if you know that basis, I think from there you can define your ideal life on terms like health and like education and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of self-knowledge.
Yeah, but it's extremely important. But for me, it was, for a long time, I didn't know myself,
mm.
and I didn't know what I was good at, because I thought I could do a lot of things. I was just a generalist who could do everything, what was needed
mm-hmm.
to get a result. So I was, for a long time, I was only looking for big challenges, which I could dive into and then fix by doing. Whatever that was needed,
mm-hmm.
and that actually, caused a lot of stress and sometimes even, imposter syndromes and in the end even burnout for me.
Mm-hmm. So you forgot yourself in the process.
Yeah. So until I was 28, I was mainly just looking for big things that I could solve to show that what I was capable of, to also show myself that I had more potential. And I knew I had that potential, but I wanted to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing everything that was needed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what kind of balance I needed for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And if we look at, if we could already dive a little bit into people our age or people that are high achievers or have a lot of ambition, a lot of them are super excited about new challenges and want to go ahead and do everything and just experience a lot of things and just check off the boxes. But then in the end, if you would go to, okay, but who are you literally and what do you think fits you? Then they're like, oh, I don't know, so let me try it out. And then you get that situation of getting into like the late 20s and still not fully doing what you could be doing with your potential. So yeah, it's sad that we don't get that guidance, but I think
it starts with education. So education is really a one-size-fits-all environment, teaching us mostly very outdated information in an old-fashioned way,
mm-hmm.
Causing a lot of people to disengage.
Yeah.
And also because it's not based on full self-knowledge, you don't know where you want to go in life, so you don't know which courses and which knowledge and which experiences you need to get there. So you're just kind of flying blind and
Yeah, indeed. And I think in a way, it's actually good that you're flying. No, it's not good that you're flying blind, but it's good that you experience things that don't fit you, so you know for next time what you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
But
it's a big trial and error process.
Yeah, but I think it's really dehumanized how education works, and it's not rather about you and your interests and your passions, but it's rather, for instance, we're going to talk about this more in depth later, but primary and higher education is more about, you know, this is the size that we have for you. You get this meal, now you go eat it. It's not about, hey, but I see you're interested in this kind of, you know, ingredients, and maybe we should talk more about that. No, you should all be on the same level, getting the same grades, being good at things that you're not good at, you know, trying to prove something that you're not going to be good at anyway. So, yeah.
And we weren't taught things like work life, how to perform in work, how to actually find a job or start a business. But also how do relationships work, and how important is health? How do I cook a meal that actually feeds my body and gives me more energy?
Yeah.
All those topics, and also about money, all these important topics we weren't taught. And for me personally, it led to a lot of trial and errors. So a lot of, trying to deal with money, making money, keeping money, saving money, investing money, but then failing, and then in that process learning.
Yeah.
And it's really painful. In the end, for me, it taught me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree that failure leads to success in the sense that failure is never a bad thing, but in this context where we're talking about very fundamental things of life, we should have been taught a lot of these things. Yeah. And if we're talking about, you know, things like mental health, such a taboo to talk about it. So many people fear loneliness in these times of crisis, for instance, but we were never taught to be alone. It was social to be social. If you're not showing that you're social online, then, ooh, that's kind of boring. Oh, you're not, you know, that kind of stuff really forms us. And there's so many things that we should all know of, like, it's good to know yourself in every situation. And if you know who you are, then you know what you need. And then you know your boundaries. And you can always grow. It's not a solid, set in stone profile. Rather, it's just like a mix, an ingredient of your passions, your values, your interests, and your ambitions.
Where did you struggle on these big life topics? If you look at your path, your background.
Well, I think that if I look back on my past 5 to 10 years, I think looking back, it was super clear that I was going to become an entrepreneur, but nobody taught me and nobody told me. So I think that if I was able in school, let's say, to have like a student business or do something more related to my passions at that point, because I was a lot of into presenting and creating new initiatives and I was always at the forefront, then really good teachers would have told me, you know what, you're going to study communications, but do you have any idea what it means if you're going into a scientific academics? Or do you have any idea that you're so fast and you're so creative that it doesn't fit with your way of doing and learning and growing? And if I were to have coaches and mentors in school, let's say high school, but also at the beginning of university, like people that actually know you and start to coach you and kind of guide you, then you would have such more self-reflection that you would make choices that make sense. Because I think that most of us all think that, let's say you have a bachelor's, you need to do a master's. That was something just printed in my head, right? But nobody told you, you know, what if you wouldn't do it? What would change in your life? Do you need a master's if you're an entrepreneur? For instance, right? Things like that. If there were people guiding me in my journey, like people actually like hold up a mirror and say, you know, I'm just looking at you, I don't think it fits, you're more like me and I'm an entrepreneur, then it would have saved so many years and energy.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And on a totally different level, I guess, in terms of people that you want to hang out with, let's say friends or your network. I think that in the beginning of life, you just grow up with certain people and you hang around with them, and at some point you change, people change, you forget each other, blah, blah, blah. but then you kind of stick with the groups you have from like age 18 and up. And I found myself really urging, feeling that I needed people around me who were also entrepreneurial at that point, like-minded and ambitious, not per se an entrepreneur, but you know, people that are doing stuff. And I was actually looking for them, craving for that kind of people. So I was always in areas where those people were. And I think that is very important as well. And I think I missed that insight until, let's say 20.
Yeah. Yeah, and so a lot of frictions that we encountered, mm-hmm. but also that gave us that formed our fuel to actually change.
Yeah.
So on all these topics, we have personal experiences where we thought, okay, this is not how it should be, and let's come up with a better alternative. So a better for me, it was a big thing was for me work, career. Mm-hmm. So it was a big detour for me. To get to the point where I am now,
mm-hmm.
Knowing myself, knowing that this is the business that I really, truly should pursue.
Mm-hmm.
But also on other topics like relations, picking the right friends.
Mm-hmm.
On all these topics, it caused us to kind of rethink our ideal version. And that's also what we did. We are very into creating, writing down our goals, but also how our ideal career, our ideal money system works.
Yep.
On all these topics,
we
thought about, okay, what is our ideal version? And then we just take a look at where we are, and then we know we need to take steps into that direction.
Yeah, and to be clear, like ideal doesn't mean like right now, what if you had 10K, but rather about, you know, if we look at life on a full base, then what would be the ideal state of, let's say you said money, or if I could do anything right now, how would you spend most of your time? So work or, but even like if you look at where you live right now, would you want to be living here in a year? We would say, no, absolutely not. Where would you want to live? Why would you live there? Yeah. What does it look like? And we have like very solid ideas about everything basically in the key areas of life. But we make conscious steps towards it. So we review this like a lot, and we also visualize it. So we think about the situation a lot, how we would change it and how we want it to be changed. And I think that by having like a holistic plan in place and just knowing, you know, where you're right now and where you want to grow into, and that makes it very clear to make steps from there and also make decisions from that point.
And we also feel like almost a necessity, because we mm-hmm. we have seen the other side, mm-hmm. Jobs or businesses that didn't fulfill us or didn't work for us, or relations that didn't work for us. For me personally, I never really had a system in place for my personal finances.
Mm.
So all these topics, we had our struggles, I had my struggles.
Mm.
So we really, it gives a very clear kind of reason mm-hmm. to grow,
mm-hmm.
and on all these levels.
And by doing so, it's not like you're punishing yourself saying, oh my gosh, I'm not there yet. And it's not like that. Once again, it's not like a vision for in 1 year. Could be, but you know, you're just looking at what if anything could be possible in that field. And you know what, once you visualize that and write it down and think about it and talk about it, I think many of those goals will become true, or get at least to 80% of that goal. And
because inside, deep inside, you are already there.
Yeah.
So you have seen it. You have experienced it internally.
Yeah. Yeah. So the seed is already planted.
Yeah.
Right, and it's just growing, because I think like either consciously or unconsciously, you're making those decisions in that direction. If, for instance, you know you don't want to be living in the city where you are in right now, but you want to be living, let's say in South America because you want to do certain work there, then you can start talking about like, oh, that's a dream. No, you can actually plan it ahead and say, if I want to be there in 5 years, then I need to start learning Spanish, or I need to talk to people already doing that or did that, or have friends in that field, or just go there a few times. And you could literally plan this out. But if you kind of like don't dare to dream big in whatever field that is, then you're going to be stuck in your situation for a whole time. So we have a very concrete plan for all the key areas of life, but we're not saying that we're there yet. We're just constantly improving and reflecting on the things that we try out.
Yeah. Yeah, and things that we do now, we are really into making our own food.
Yeah, like literally yeah. only making our own food, not using any packaging no. and pre-packed spices.
Yeah. yeah. And limiting our meat intake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And meditation, doing more and more.
Yeah.
Reading books, of course, books that we think that we need right now to build our business or yeah. to understand ourselves better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of different things that we are doing, and we, just like you just said, we are by no means there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We know where we want to be, and we are taking steps, and every week, every month,
yeah.
we are looking, okay, where are we?
Yeah.
Then we are also looking back, and we are grateful for the steps that we take. We're not mm-hmm. only focusing on the future and improving, but also on where we are.
Exactly, because we can say that by actually keeping track of what we did so far, we're here. I mean, a lot of things that we already planned and thought of and worked on made us take certain steps already. And it's always easier to say, you know, I have a dream and one day I want to do that when I have certain money or a certain time. But we know that by just constantly looking at, you know, okay, we're pretty healthy. I mean, we're young. We can go on for years in this condition. But if we look at how we could kind of proactively go about health, for instance, oh, hey, look at all the packaging, so much sugar in there, for instance, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that are maybe not so urgent at the moment, but are great to already put in there as a good habit. And I think that goes for a lot of things like meditation. And but for instance, on a totally different level, like energy, I think I'm still struggling a lot with sleeping. I mean, I know I need my sleep. I need at least 8 hours, and I am so conscious of it, and still sometimes it doesn't happen. I mean, I just don't get to sleep. I don't get to rest. And you're also looking into that, like, okay, hey, but if I don't sleep well, how can I improve? What other methods can I try? Because sleep is my fundament of energy during the day. So yeah, even things like that seem pretty minor can be amazing to look at. Yeah.
Yeah. So all these topics can be quite overwhelming because it's we see it as an holistic field.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what I do personally is that I often just check, okay, how is my my health, mental and physical health, my relations.
Mm-hmm.
My career and my finance. These are kind of four broad topics that I check. Okay, where am I? What can I improve?
Yeah.
These are kind of my. It's the way how to get a grip on it. Mm-hmm. How to keep a grip on it.
Yeah. Yeah, and also like the big dreams that you have, like the things that you really want to work towards, just share them with your friends and your community, because by sharing it, I think it actually comes true. Because in the first place, you hold people accountable for you. People hold you accountable, sorry. So they can go back and say, hey, you said you're going to do that. How is that going? And it also makes you feel like, yeah, you want to do this, because a lot of people think it's cool. So yeah, I think it works in different ways. And I think that where I want to make this step towards GrowTribute is that it can be super overwhelming to start with self-development. There are so many things you can focus on. You can improve so many things. And if you're a perfectionist, it can feel like nothing is going well. We want to help people with getting that overview. And we'll talk about that much more later. But we think that by having that holistic view, at least on all areas, being aware of your situation, being aware of yourself, being aware of where you want to go into and what the gap is, let's say, is pretty important.
Yeah, so we are so much into personal development, really, because it was just important for us to grow and to find other alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point, we started coaching young people, and we found out that these questions are living with a lot of people and are relevant for them as well. Okay, what kind of career do I want? What kind of people do I want to surround myself with?
Yeah.
So self development makes us happy.
Mm-hmm.
Helping others on this path and finding their way actually makes us fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. And it's like we've been working on this on personal titles, of course, like for a long time. And we also like put our goals together. So we have mutual goals, and that's super cool to see. And we do share that we do this with a lot of people around us, including our coaches. And it's just cool to see that how you can trigger a lot of people by just asking the right questions. And just, you know, it's going to be personal, and everybody has their own path. There's no one good way. There's no ideal for all areas of life. It's super personal. But once you know how to start, let's say, writing your plan, like making an ideal plan and working towards it.
And believing it.
Yeah, and believing it, growing into it, working on it. It can be so fulfilling. And yeah, we've done a lot of business acquisitions, different companies that we worked in. And now we just decided to join forces on a professional level as well, by saying, you know, there's so much need for this. The high achievers that we know are dying in a way, maybe even indirectly, maybe directly, to understand themselves and actually find a meaningful life and whatever that means for them. Successful, what does that mean to them? And yeah, to conclude, we want to show others how to live life on your own terms, and that is possible.
Yeah.
And yeah, that gives us fulfillment.
Yeah, and we are going to do that in a bigger way with GrowTribute. And more about GrowTribute plans later.
Yep, thanks for listening and watching.
Bye.